Hi, this is Kathleen Edwards from North by Northeast in beautiful Toronto, Canada. Come on over here. The bands are warming up, and you're listening to The Bob Harris Show on BBC Radio 2.
On The Bob Harris Show here on Radio 2, between now and 2 o'clock, it's our Canadian music special. All things North by Northeast. The North by Northeast Music and Film Festival has been happening during the course of this week in Toronto, Canada. And in particular, on Thursday evening, there was an amazing lineup at a gig at Lee's Palace. It was a special Bob Harris Presents evening featuring many of the artists that I feature from Canada on my programs. It started at 7 o'clock in the evening and through until 4 o'clock the following morning, featured live sets from O Susanna, Kathleen Edwards, Jim Bryson, Justin Rutledge, who played live on this program about 6-8 weeks ago. Live music too from Ron Sexsmith and Luke Doucette and Melissa McClelland. And Blue Rodeo rounded off the evening, and we have live music from each of those sets on this program between now and 2 o'clock. Additionally, we'll be dipping into Toronto live, because in our studio in Toronto, Ron Sexsmith will be playing a set for this evening, and Linda McLean. And we'll also be speaking with Larry LeBlanc, who is the bureau chief for Billboard magazine in Canada, and Andy McLean, who is the organizer of the North by Northeast Festival. If you're listening in Canada, indeed, if you have any thoughts about Canadian music, if you'd like to be in touch with the program between now and 2 o'clock, you can email us bob.harris@bbc.co.uk, or you can text us on 88291. So we'll be speaking in a moment or two with Andy McLean live in Toronto, but first of all, let me play you some music from one of the sets that was played at Lee's Palace on Thursday evening from a great favourite of mine, Jim Bryson. We'll hear three songs altogether, the first of which comes from Jim's album, The Northside Benches. So, this is Jim Bryson, and this is Sleeping in Toronto.
I got tired of never really knowing what I should do. Honey, you can tell all of your friends I won't be home again, not for anyone. And I got tired of hearing I don't love you. I got tired of never really knowing what I should, really could do. When you see I was tired and right from the very start, I got tired of watching you all just falling apart.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
excited. Tell me why I miss you. Cause all of my friends, all of my friends back home think there's no one that will ever love me. Took shady lanes and the long way home, and I left you messages, but Jesus Christ, you never phoned. So I would feel much better if we only talked. So I would feel much better, my love, if I wasn't so good. Summer nights, when I'm here talking to you, I could tell that I miss this place, but Jesus Christ, you was fooling who? Cause I would feel much better if we only talked more. Cause I would feel much better, Jesus Christ, if I wasn't so bored. I'm beginning to wonder, I'm beginning to blur, I'm beginning to stumble, and Jesus Christ would have a way.
One day I was sitting in Songbird Music in Ottawa about 4 years ago. Oh my God, it was 6 years ago. It's funny how time flies when you're doing something else. And all of a sudden I started getting all these emails from England, and I had never been to England. I had once been to France in a band, and we had stayed on the floors of France's finest hosts. But I had never been to England, and I had never known anyone who had records played in England. And all of a sudden I got to work one Monday, because I only had the internet at work, and I had 15 emails at least from England saying, "We just heard a song of yours on a Bob Harris show, and how do we get a hold of you?" Well, I said, "You found the way." So, and all of a sudden I was trying to package up records in my living room, which I wasn't very good at doing, to send over to England. And it's all because of a wonderful man, Bob Harris, who is the reason we are all standing in this room, and the reason that so many of us get to go over to England and play, because people hear you and then they say, "Why don't you come on over?" There we go, a story. I used to look for you out in the daylight. I took highways and side streets and back lanes. I slept under open skies. And life can be cruel, but life can be sweet if I wanted to be. Town that I once called home, I just can't hold on to. It's got strip malls and bus stops and people I would never really talk to. And she says life can be sweet, but life is so cruel, 'cause I let it be, just like I let everything be. Everybody out here, they wanna live somewhere else. I wish I could find a place and stay there by myself. And bit by bit, I swear I think I'm losing all this city's confidence.
music from the great Jim Bryson. We heard Sleeping in Toronto, Feel Much Better, and the last song, Somewhere Else, which is probably the song I've played most from Jim from his album, The North Side Benches. It's also a song that was covered by Kathleen Edwards, and Jim also plays guitar in Kathleen's band. And it's great to get the emails in about North by Northeast. Please do keep them coming. bob.harris@bbc.co.uk. You can text us on 88291, and I'd be particularly interested to hear from you if you are listening to the program in Canada or have connections with Canada. Southpaw, the band Southpaw, are over for the festival. They said, had the most fantastic night of live music last night at Lee's Palace. Great to hear the Canadian bands you've championed over the years. Kathleen Edwards was fantastic. Jim Bryson, a revelation. And Blue Rodeo brought the house down. We're only here on your recommendation that it would be a great festival. And we're playing the Dakota Lounge on Saturday evening. Can't wait. All the best from everyone in Southpaw. And Joe says, just a note to say what a brilliant event last night was. This is Thursday evening at Lee's Palace. To see so many of my favorite Canadian artists was very special. Being British in a completely Canadian crowd was also fun. I felt right at home with all the shout outs for your show and BBC Radio 2. Kathleen Edwards and Blue Radio were personally, for me, the highlights of the 7-hour marathon concert. We all just about stayed awake for Blue Rodeo at 3 a.m. and oh boy, was it worth it. It was a treat seeing all these great artists walking past me and standing in the crowd with us, watching their fellow musicians. All in all, a very special night. And we'll be dipping into it more as we go through between now and 2 o'clock with live performances from North by Northeast coming up as we go through the night. Radio 2, it's the Bob Harris Show. It's exactly 11:30 here in London. I guess it's 6:30, I think it would be, in Toronto. I think it's a 5-hour time change. Well, we can discover now anyway, because we're featuring the North by Northeast Festival on the program this evening, and I'm just about to talk to the man responsible for it all, because the organizer of the festival is in our Toronto studio. Andy McLean, are you there?
Good evening, Bob.
Hiya, Andy. How are you doing then?
I'm doing fantastic, thanks. Really well on a few hours sleep for the last couple of weeks, but it's great.
I can't imagine how hectic things must have been for you there, because just give us an idea of the scale of the festival across Toronto.
Well, this year is definitely the biggest one we've ever done, and over 450 bands are coming in and playing at over 40 venues. Got 25 films going, probably 60, 70,000 people so far. We haven't managed to count everybody just yet, but it has a major impact on the city. Just so I want to make the point clear, it's not just me, Bob. There are actually people that helped me out to organize this as well.
Well, I know that. But, you know, people talk about the North by Northeast Festival as being kind of Canada's answer to South by Southwest. What are the comparisons, or not, between the two?
Well, there's definitely some comparisons. Obviously, we're good friends with our American cousins down there at South by Southwest. And myself, personally, I was down at South by Southwest. I've been going for 17 of the 21 years that I've been running, and actually promoted South by Southwest up here in Canada to try and get Canadian bands to go down there and experience it. So it was the hidden gem for a long time, and it was important to get the word out about South by Southwest. And, of course, as a model, I loved the way that they combined music, a passion for music, with a real business sense as well, where you could get great exposure and get ahead with your career. So with myself and my partners, the chance to start something in Toronto, we basically stole as many of their ideas as we possibly could and put our own distinctly Canadian spin on it. And here we are 13 years later with our own version. It's about half the size of South by Southwest, and you know, it has a real Canadian perspective as well.
Because some of the similarities include things like, you know, the panels are very important, Andy, aren't they? Because you've got 3 days of panels, you've round tables, demo listening sessions, clinics. How does all that side of things work?
Well, it was always very important for us to, when we started the festival, was to base it on the street and bring it up from the bands that are emerging. And of course, there was no internet, there was no idea of connecting directly with your fans at that time, but we wanted to have an educational component, and we've tried to keep track with what's been going on. So our panels are really focused on educating the bands, and we do it in a kind of a irreverent and entertaining way as well. So there are lots of sessions where the bands can interact and really talk about the things that are on ongoing day-to-day problems facing an emerging independent band. At the same time, we do have some bigger names and some celebrities that will add the star power to it. We had an amazing interview with Rob Halford from Judas Priest today. That was very entertaining. We also had Don Letts, who's over here promoting his movies, interviewed by Bruce McDonald, as well as Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr. So the conference itself is really, there's no real conference like it. It's very much, we're in the entertainment industry, so we try and make our panels as entertaining as possible. At the same time, of course, trying to get the bands ahead with their careers and deal with the issues that they face every day as musicians on the road.
Because that's the thing about it, isn't it? The thrust, really, the engine of the festival, my impression of it, Andy, is that it's a new music festival. This is a festival set up to help emerging bands and introduce a wider public to names that possibly they might not have heard so far.
Well, absolutely right. You're true. The experience of walking into a club as a fan and discovering a band like, say Sam Roberts or Sarah Harmer or even Kathleen Edwards or Sum 41, Billy Talent, all those Canadian bands that have played North by Northeast over the years, that experience stays with you forever. And it's very important to us. We have over 3,000 submissions every year for about 450 slots. And a lot of those bands will be brand new and emerging. So people that come to the festival can get that experience. They can drill down into the event and really get in and discover the new and emerging stuff. At the same time, there's a sprinkling of better known bands and some bands that have, you know, reformed or are doing new albums again that just the general public can come along. And of course, like the night we put together on Thursday with arguably the strongest lineup of Canadian roots talent ever on your night, it was an incredible night here in Toronto for people to come out at 3 a.m.
I know.
We have extended license during North by Northeast, which is a wonderful time. You can drink till 4 a.m. and you can have a beer in Toronto at 3:30, quarter to 4, and watch Blue Rodeo. That has never happened before, Bob, so you're completely responsible for that, and it's on your shoulders, be it.
So the late night drinking is down to me.
completely. So when the mayor complains, you know, it's all your fault.
And just finally, Andy, because clearly, I mean, you're a Brit across there in Toronto. So what took you across to Canada in the first place?
Well, a bit of adventure, a bit of a relationship thing as well. But I came over with music, and also I got signed to a major label deal within being here for 6 months. And I thought, hey, the colonies aren't bad. So I was a Canadian pop star for about 6 or 7 years, and then moved on wisely to the other side of the business. And I've never really gone back, although my parents and my brother and everything is still in the UK, and my roots are firmly there, as well as my football team, of course.
Absolutely.
Which we won't mention because we'll never get off that topic. And also, just to let you know, speaking of football, there is the first time the North by Northeast put the boot in soccer tournament happening tomorrow to round off the whole of North by Northeast, and wish you were here too.
I'm just about to say I'm even more disappointed I'm not there now, you said that. But listen, Andy, thanks for everything. Well done for the whole thing. I mean, I think North by Northeast is such a wonderful triumph, to be honest. And as you know, we've been recording, we have a Radio 2 team in Toronto at the moment, comprising Mark Ward, our engineer, and Helen Chetwin. Mark has been working round the clock to do the mixing of the sets that were played at Lee's Palace the other night. Were you there, by the way? Were you actually at the venue?
I had to be there. I had to say that I was there. I had to sneak out a couple of times to do, obviously I'm running the festival as well, so can't be there for everything, but I was there till the Blue Rodeo set at quarter to four, and then I had to leave. So it was an amazing night.
Yeah. Well, the music, I'm listening to it for the first time as I'm putting it out on air, actually, because we've just got it across on the line. But we have a couple of tracks coming up, I think one song now from Melissa McClelland with her husband Luke Doucette, and we're just about to hear Passenger 24. Andy, thanks very much, and good luck with it all.
Thanks so much, Bob.
Yeah, see you soon.
This is Melissa McClelland, for those of you who don't know.
Passenger number 24, I got a bag of cocaine. Cut my hair short, gonna fill it up with diesel. American scum, let the girl in.
change. Grab a deli sticker, barely legal, home on the range. Jump on the bus as he's gunning the wheel. Even dust in my tracks, wouldn't pedal to steel. Dust in my tracks, pedal to steel.
Lovely stuff from Melissa McClelland with husband Luke Doucette. In fact, when we broadcast from Nashville live on this program last November, they played a live set in the studio then. And that particular song is the opening song from the new album from Melissa McClelland, which is called Thumbelina's One Night Stand. And the song, Passenger 24. It's Radio 2, 17 minutes to midnight is the time here in London. It's Bob Harris with you until 2 o'clock. We're featuring tonight music from the North by Northeast Festival, which is taking place this week in Toronto, Canada. And in our studio there, the CBC studio in Toronto, is our next live musician. And it's wonderful to welcome to the program Linda McLean. Hi, Linda.
Hello, Bob.
How are you then?
I'm so good.
It's funny, isn't it?
Because, very, very happy.
Yeah, we met, of course, when last time you were in Britain, which was only, well, days ago, really, wasn't it? And now you're...
That's right.
You're back in
my
Canada.
My magical mystery tour of Britain.
That's right. How did the UK tour go for you?
Oh, it was pretty magical. It was really great. I couldn't believe how nice all you British people were. I kept saying it, and people would look at me, and they'd say, "Are you talking about people in Sheffield?" And I had a great time. I really enjoyed it. And, of course, I ended up in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And
you went to John Lennon's house.
I ended up sleeping in John Lennon's bed.
I mean, it's incredible, this, isn't it? This is Mendips through our friend Colin Hall and his wife, Sylvia, Colin is the custodian of Mendips, isn't he? And isn't it an amazing experience visiting that house?
It was incredible. It was incredible. And I could barely sleep. They gave me beans and toast in the drawing room. and they listened to some of my music, and we chatted, and I heard all the stories. And then, of course, I had to sit in this bed and just experience the moment for a while. And I couldn't get to sleep. It was really, really fascinating just to be there. I'm sure it was my imagination, but I think I've been sort of possessed.
Because the house has been restored to exactly the way it was in the mid-50s when John was there with his Aunt Mimi.
They made beans on toast on the stove that Mimi used to cook on.
It is incredible, isn't it? And it's, as I say, it's, I mean, that time of John Lennon in his childhood, when you see the pictures of him there in his school cap and the long grey trousers and the school satchel and the blazer and all of that, that, that could, you know, that could have been me.
How cute was he?
I was sort of at school at more or less the same time. And that post-war era, you know, 1956, 57, this was, you know, rock and roll and teenage music was only just arriving then.
Just arriving. And then he's got that really cute white shirt that he wears when he actually goes and he's at that garden party where he meets Paul McCartney. And he looks so dapper in his shirt, and he's got those eyes that sort of droop, like he's trying to do that Elvis thing. I guess he was really into Elvis. Anyway, whenever I did those skipping games where you'd call out the Beatles' names, I always stopped on John so that he would be the one that I would marry.
Well, it's a, you know, it's a pretty close encounter, isn't it, going to the house? So, listen, Linda, have you brought your guitar with you?
This is another close encounter being with you. I've got my guitar, yes, and Bob.
Yeah.
I'm going to sing a song, and it's a brand new song, and it's actually, it's inspired by three things. One is traveling in the UK. One is just, you know, wanting to write songs that make people feel good. But mostly, this song was inspired by you, so. It's called Working It All Out.
Okay.
I've been working all night, I've been thinking a lot, I've been navel-gazing. I've been waiting for those stars to shine through the rain. Holding on to that wheel to keep the dream alive. Staring at the straight ahead, thinking the cat's eyes. And I've been thinking of you. I'm working it all out. Working it all out. Been trying to stay awake by listening to the station play the same song over and over. We've been waiting for the soot to come and we can sing along, and there's comfort in knowing, but we can't really know. And besides, not knowing's more interesting. Makes you pay attention and check out what you're missing. Like I've been missing you, kissing you. Working it all out. 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 Feeling the same moon pulling me as pulling you on this curve of night. I'm listening to those shows by Bob and it's helping me see the light. So I've been working on a new song all about loving this life, and I'm calling it Eternity Serendipity. Work it all out. Work it all out. Work it all out. Work it all out.
Linda McLean playing live for us in Toronto, Canada. Working It All Out was the title of the song. And is this a song that's going to be on the next album, Linda?
This is going to be on the next album.
Right.
Absolutely.
How is work going
on
that?
Working on that this summer. Yeah, it's good. All the pre-production's done, and we're just waiting to... We're playing some live shows with the band this month, mm-hmm. and we'll be working it all out with the band, getting that live feel, and then going into the studio and just throwing them down and then, you know, mixing and all that stuff. So it should be ready for late fall. I'm hoping that it will be ready for late fall.
Okay. Because I've talked about the music that you make being infused, if you like, by the atmosphere of the place where you live, because you live very close to Merrylake, don't you, in Muskoka, in a very, very beautiful part of Canada. Just sort of describe the scene for us.
Well, we live up on a rock. We've built a house there, and it's surrounded by forest. And from our windows, we see Merrylake. We have beautiful deciduous and coniferous trees growing all around us. And the sun rises over the ridge and then sets on the other side over the lake. And it's fabulous. It's very quiet. We have all kinds of birds right now coming in. Pecking at the windows.
And you get lovely warm summers and absolutely freezing icy cold winters.
Yeah, scary. Because we're up on a rock, our driveway is always, it's a bit treacherous when the ice comes and then melts. Sometimes we just have to stay inside because we can't actually even walk down to, you know, the road.
Because Merrylake is, what, about 6 miles across? And of course it's lovely. There are beaches rounded in the summer, but in the winter, does it not freeze completely? You can drive a car across it, I've heard.
Ooh, you could. I wouldn't do that. I suppose, yeah. They do those snowmobile things. They take those across. But
yes.
There's usually someone goes through the ice because, you know, the ice melts very quickly and gets thin and you think it's thick. So I'm very nervous about going out on the ice, but, you know. Yeah,
but a fantastic place to work, hey, and live and make
it
music.
It is beautiful.
Yeah. The second
song, it's stunning.
And the second song you're doing for us, is that another new one?
Would you like it to be?
Whatever you would like to do.
It could be. Well, I was going to do one from my CD.
Oh, we'll do that.
No Language.
Yes.
I know you've played it on the show, so I thought I'd do a nice little intimate version of that.
Okay.
Called No Language. This much I know, this much I'll remember. You held my hand and taught me how to roll. Yeah, but I never got to tell you I love you. Had no words that you could understand to make you wanna stay. There was nothing broken, not at least what you can see. No damage, no damage here. Now I'm a madman out on that water, with all my armor on protecting me, crashing body into the waves, so nothing will be saved from floating naked on that sea. Between these worlds, I know. Between
Linda McLean, playing live for us at the CBC studio in Toronto, Canada, and the title song from the album No Language. Linda, if people want to be in touch, can you just give everyone your website address?
www.lindamclean.com. That's M-C-L-E-A-N.
And
Bob, it's such a pleasure.
Oh,
to be
you
here
too.
With you.
Thanks very much for playing for us. And the plans to visit the UK again soon?
As soon as I can get this next record done and come with that, I'll be coming back, absolutely.
I'm not about to lose this feeling.
play that tonight, especially for Bernie Andrews. Not About to Lose. That's Ron Sexsmith. And we'll be hearing more from Ron's performance later in the program when he'll also be joining me live from our Toronto studios. But more live music in the next hour too. Justin Rutledge and Oh Susanna playing live. There'll be music from Rush. I'll be talking with one of the great characters and figures of Canadian music. Larry LeBlanc will be in the studio with us. And we've got music from K.D. Lang in a couple of minutes' time on 88 to 91 FM. This is Radio 2 from the BBC.
I had an interview with Bob Harris about 3 months ago over in the UK. He's a lovely man. Send this song out to him.
Lay me down, sweet Jesus, by the trembling skyline, by the fox's vineyard, by the snowman's eye. Lay me down by the black boy. Lay me down by the blue boy. Lay me down in the sweetness of my father's arms. Lay me down, sweet Jesus, by the fever of your cold. Where the soil goes hungry, and where the pretty worms hide. Lay me down by the highway, by the messianic roadmap. Lay me down in the sweetness of my father's arm.
Thank you very much. Promise not to bum me out for much longer. How much time we got? All right, we're just going to do a couple more for you here. God bless those girls from Barcelona. Smell of roses and cocaine. I hope they know their parents best. So do those sunny shores of Spain. But I miss them dancing in the kitchen. That long stone goodbye. Too sober to sleep. But I'm too drunk to cry. God bless that famous painter's daughter. I left so long ago. Jane, we're all so sorry about your mother. I just thought we'd let you know. We miss you downtown, walking backwards. Those snowbanks in your eyes. Too sober to sleep. I'm too drunk to cry. God bless garage bands in the basement. And God bless garage bands on the stage. And God bless the bones of my soul. Man, those Irish Catholics, they never. Strong.
I'm too drunk to cry. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is our last song. Thanks for listening. God bless you, these pals. North by Northeast. God bless you, Mr. Harris. BBC.
ACH, Blake Mayo, and Dave Baxter. My name is Justin Rutledge. Lance Sexton, come on.
12:30, this is the Bob Harry Show. It's our Canadian special, and I'm about to introduce you to someone who's known in Toronto as the glue that holds the Canadian music industry together. He is the bureau chief for Billboard magazine, and his name is Larry LeBlanc. Hiya, Larry.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing, then?
Well, I can tell you, the Mozzies are up north, and there's 450 bands in Toronto.
I know, it's incredible. And we catch you at such a successful moment for Canadian music, too, don't we? Because domestically, I mean, I know there are only three albums in the Canadian top five at this minute, but 2 or 3 weeks ago, the whole top five of the Canadian album chart was made up of Canadian artists. And is that not the first time this has ever happened?
I can't remember a time, and you know, if you look at the top 15, it's like 6 or 7. It's pretty strong. If you even go down to, say, you know, the top 50, it works out to almost like 15, 20 different acts.
I want to quote something to you, Larry, because just recently, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, on the front cover of NME, you know, the music magazine in Britain, there was a free CD called Canadian Blast, The Sound of the New Canadian Scene. And I just want to quote here from it for a second. It says, every so often, a town, city, or country inexplicably comes alive, seizes its moment, and spews forth a whole load of great new music. We've seen it in Manchester, Seattle, and Sunderland, and in Australia, Scotland, and Brazil. And now, well, now, all ears are on Canada. From the jittery art punk of the Tokyo Police Club to the glorious gloom of the Besnard Ladies. From Montreal to Toronto, Quebec to Vancouver, Canadian Blast is your definitive taster of one of the most exciting new music scenes in the world. Now, so what's happened with Canadian music to reach it to this moment at this particular time?
I think it's a couple things, Bob. I mean, I've been covering it since the early 1970s. And the thing that I really noticed is at one time, you know, we would pop, you know, one or two acts in an international way. But, you know, don't forget, like 20 years ago, it was really hard to take any band out of Canada and take them out of here. The easiest way was to go to the United States, to get to England. I remember the Guess Who being in England in 1967, and it almost bankrupted the band. It was so expensive to get over there. They didn't have work permits. They had to come back. But the odd thing is, I think the change in climate of our industry has helped Canadians, particularly technology, the growth of the internet and MP3 and different things like that, where you now can send tracks worldwide. I've been doing Billboard for 17 years, and what has struck me now is every time I pick up a magazine or I talk to somebody around the world, there's Canadian bands going through there. Just looking, you know, in your own Maverick magazine, every time I look in the magazine, there's another five Canadians over there touring. And I think it's Canadians have the ability through like anybody else, they, you know, can record albums much like anybody else today. It's a lot cheaper, but through government programs here, through, you know, through our Factor program and other things, they now have the ability to tour, so they can, they're in a real good position to take advantage of things like The Great Escape or Manchester or Popcon or South by Southwest or Northeast here or Canadian Music Week here. And in essence, we can put our bands in different places and then go back and put them in the marketplace. And I think I've come to the conclusion that is really making the difference, because much like anybody else, we're able to make music, but it's the ability to go over and be there and be in people's faces.
And I think Factor is such an important part of this symbolically, Larry, don't you think? Because Factor is the facility to assist Canadian talent on record. And this is an opportunity. It offers opportunities, doesn't it, for new and emerging artists to apply for a grant to sort of underpin the cost of recording an album and or taking it on tour, you know, or doing showcases or making a video. And to me, this is a fantastically sort of symbolic gesture that the government is behind the music there. And it helps create a feeling of Canadian community.
I shouldn't say that it's any easier here. I mean, a lot of people, you know, over the years have said, oh, you know, Canadian groups get, you know, money, they have a leg up. Well, it doesn't quite work that way because we have the same problems getting on the charts like anybody else do. In fact, when you were here last year, you and I were both struck by the example that a lot of people that you were familiar with, Canadians, weren't being played on Canadian airwaves. So there's, you know, there's a yin and yang, you know, side to what's going on. But I think the importance of it is the ability for Canadian bands to have some kind of support to actually, you know, go over and tour. You know, I mean, not only is the British market, you know, got a lot of Canadian acts, you know, this summer as well, but territories like Germany, Scandinavia, and also Japan have an awful lot of Canadians going over. And as I said, you know, what strikes me is every time I kind of readjust and look at, you know, we get bogged down looking at so much, you know, material that comes across our desks, you know, at least I do in a way. But every so 5 or 6 months, I start going, okay, what have I got here? And all of a sudden, you start finding a whole other bunch of different names. And I'm doing that now. I'm going through finding people that I didn't know about, say, 4 or 5 months ago, and going, this is incredible again. And I keep finding that time and time again. There's a show in Trafalgar Square on June 29th, Canada Day thing. I think it's they do everything but play hockey and stuff like that all day, and they have a big concert. And if you can, you know, Sam Roberts there, who is quite well known, but if you can check out Kanan, who's playing there, wonderful act here from Canada, and also Justin Nazuka, who's another new act, singer-songwriter out through Coalition. They're actually trying to start his career on the Outside label out of you know, through England. But 5, 6, I mean, he's somebody, he's only 19 years old, and you're going, where are these people coming from?
Actually, Justin, you know, did a showcase for Radio 2 just recently, so the network here is getting behind him as well.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is, you know, as much as I keep tapping with what's going on, I'm finding other people discovering Canadian music abroad sometimes before we even going back. Or if I, you know, tell somebody about, you know, say somebody like Luc Doucette, I don't have to explain who they are. We're 10, 15 years ago. Or Serena Ryder, or Justin Rutledge, who you just had on the show. So, you know, those are changes. Somebody like Simon Wilcox, I went and saw last night here for this wonderful North by Northeast, which is driving us all crazy, because as I said, 450 bands. I think I got to bed last night around 2:30 in the morning. But Simon Wilcox, who recorded in England, she's the daughter of David Wilcox, an extremely well-known and revered guitar player here in Canada. She's cut this incredible album with a bunch of the people involved with Echo and the Bunnymen, and to see her on stage last night just made your jaw drop.
This is The Charm and the Strange, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a wonderful album, yeah, absolutely. And another album you recommended to me. I just want to play a track from this before we talk a little more, Larry, but I know you were setting up for me the new album from Rush, saying that it's one of the best of their career so far, and I tend to agree with that. It's called Snakes and Arrows. This is We Hold On. Music from Rush, from their new album Snakes and Arrows, recommended to us by Larry LeBlanc, who's in our studio in Toronto this evening. And you touched, Larry, you know, on what you were saying earlier on the restriction that's placed on Canadian broadcasting, the imposition of certain, it's CanCon, isn't it, that the radio and television channels in Canada have to play a certain percentage of Canadian music. How does this work exactly?
On radio, it's 35% generally, and what it means is a Canadian record is, it's four, you know, there's four parts to the equation: music, lyrics, art, artists, and production. You have to have two of that four.
Right.
Now, where it gets a little tricky is it really depends on flow of product. If you're putting out a record, say, at the same time Rush's, or say a bunch of other people at the same time, you may have trouble getting airplay. The one thing that we do lack in Canada is a lack of formats, similar to the United States. We do not have a general Americana format or a AAA format. You know, for example, we don't have a lot of top 40 anymore, so a lot of things get squeezed into sort of a soft or, you know, hot adult contemporary. So that becomes, you know, questionable, whatever have you. So it really depends on what you're putting the product out. And the other thing too is, Bob, because of the geographics within our country, it's hard to tour, and also the population is smaller. You really can't make money in this market. You travel across Canada, that's a hell of a journey. It's easier to put a band, and a lot of bands have figured this out, is it's easier to go to Europe. It's easier to go to the United States, you know, where you go and you go down the road, say, and play a date maybe 100 miles away. In Canada, you could be driving 3,000 miles, or not 3,000, maybe 1,000, 2,000 kilometers to your next gig. That's quite a different. The Rush track, by the way, I found interesting. I think they've been listening to the old Sid Barrett records with Pink Floyd.
Yes.
And the thing I might recommend is I talk about a number of different, you know, bands coming up. I mean, you know, besides Rush, who would, you know, think they would, you know, come up with one of the, you know, great records after almost 30 albums in the marketplace. But keep an eye on Silverstein. That's going to be the next Canadian hard rock band to break, and they're about to release their third album on Victory Records, and it's going to enter, I predict it will enter the American Billboard chart in the United States in the top 15, and everybody's going, who's Silverstein? And also look out for Thousand Foot Crutch, who comes out of the hard rock you know, world as well.
Mm-hmm.
And both those are really interesting. And the other one that's a bit, maybe a bit of a surprise, and you will be very familiar with, but the sixth album by Tegan and Sarah is about to be released in July, and I think it's going to really surprise a lot of people.
Okay.
I think they're going to enter more of the mainstream. I mean, you know, in the mainstream, besides the Rushes, of course, today, we got the Avril Lavigne's and Nelly Furtado's, and we'll even take Rufus Wainwright, too, because of, you know, Kate.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's such a charming person. He's up here all the time. I remember him running around backstage at McGarrigle concerts. So, I mean, we have, I think what is really interesting here is the depth of Canadian music and how it fires on all different genres. I mean, that's what's really interesting.
And for me, too, and I've talked with Justin Rutledge about this a few weeks ago on the program, and other people, too, but I don't think it's an over-romanticized notion from this side of the pond, as it were, to see the way the Canadian music community works, Larry. And that was my feeling about it, is that it is a music community. It's into supporting. A lot of the musicians know one another well. They get on well. They play on it. I suppose Broken Social Scene would be a good example of this. But
with the whole arts and crafting, it's like a huge collective, absolutely.
And I love the vibe of it. I think it's just got such a warm atmosphere to it, the Canadian music scene.
Well, there's different pockets. For example, like if you go down into the Atlantic provinces, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and Newfoundland, Labrador, there's a scene down there where you'll go to see a Celtic band, and then the audience will be like Sloan, you know, and
yes.
You know, Dave Gunning and Great Big Sea and people like that, and you'll be sitting there. They'll all be in the Rankin family, Jimmy Rankin, and people like that. And you're right. I mean, that's another collective scene, you know, that sometimes perhaps maybe you don't see overseas, or you'll see pockets in Edmonton. Certainly, Vancouver has its own scene, you know, where Network Records are. As well, and there's a lot of, you know, back and forth, you know, within that. And I think what helps bring us together are events like the Juno Awards, but also the Western Canadian Music Awards, the East, you know, Coast Music Awards and stuff like that, where we're mixing up and seeing that. And of course, we also have a collective spirit in the middle, and the collective spirit in the middle are our touchstones are Neil Young, Gordon Lightfoot, Joni Mitchell, and Leonard Cohen.
Mm.
And almost every genre of music, that, and Ian Sylvia being the other one as well, you know, essentially you touch every musician I know, you know, whether it's rock, pop, or whatever have you, they all go back to those touchstones within our marketplace. And what runs through the theme of that, Bob, is a real emphasis on lyrics. I think that's what makes Canadian music a little bit different. I mean, it's all nature, and I'm not saying there's a Canadian sound. There isn't, because it's all different. But what the thing is that is central to all the music that comes out of here is it's very lyric-based.
Yes. Larry, it's been so good talking to you, and I absolutely on the subject of what you've just been saying, I've got songs coming up now from the set played last Thursday evening anyway, from O Susanna, who I think is literally an intelligent artist, and wonderful, Larry. Thanks very much for your contribution to the program tonight, and we'll see you soon. Hey, I know you're
coming over. We have a wedding to go to sometime next year, and we'll be over.
Well, we'll be there as well, and we'll see you then. Thanks a lot, Larry. And this is Oh Susanna. Recorded at Lee's Palace on Thursday evening. This is Greyhound Bus.
I'm bound for the Greyhound Bus. Got no one left to trust. Kiss my ass, eat my dust. I got dreams, I got a dream. So long to the whipping post. Hello to the Golden Coast. Hang my heart on a hitching post where they got clean air to breathe. When I was 17, gave up my little girl, but she still haunts my dreams. In the pocket of my jeans, got a picture of Tony Curl. Wonder if she's just like me. 20 years on the line, sweat and tears just to make a dime. Punch the clock, it's quitting time. There's so much I gotta see. Maybe I will find my girl. My heart will be my messenger. Swings I torn, but man, it's pure, and it beats inside of me. When I was 17, I gave up my little girl, but she still haunts my dreams. In the pocket of my jeans, got a picture of Tony Curl. Wonder if she's just like me. Messenger, swings out home, but man, it's pure and it beats inside of me. It beats inside of me.
Wondering who the cute man behind the drum kit is, and his name is Cam Giroux. And I get to take him home tonight, and we get to get up at 6 a.m. and take care of Sal, who will be 2 in a couple months. Let's see. All right, so this song is for Sal. It's about, I remember being a kid and being bullied at school, and I thought I was actually way too proud to tell anybody about it, and so I suffered. And I just thought, I don't want the same thing to happen to him, so I wrote this tune for him, when even before he was just an idea at the time. It's called Bullies. I will love you anyway. Alone you'll never be.
the cruelest still, you fall prey against your will. But I will hold you up until the bigger man you be. Baby. you'll always be my baby. Yeah, my baby. Together, your yarn is a worn out old tether. You better button that collar, for you're going out to pasture, and I'll be counting the bounty when softly I will say, now you.
The music of Osu's Anna. The songs we heard, the one we just heard, You'll Always Be, and before that, Bullies, and the first of the three, Greyhound Bus. The first two part of the new Osu's Anna album, which is called Short Stories. It's Radio 2, 9 minutes past 1 o'clock, or just coming up to. This is Bob Harris with you until 2 o'clock in the morning. We're featuring music and personalities from the North by Northeast Music Festival, music and film festival in Toronto, Canada, which has been happening through the course of this week. We'll be hearing from and talking to Ron Sexsmith in a moment or two. But first of all, another one of the performances from Thursday evening and Lee's Palace in Toronto. This is Luke Doucette and Melissa McClelland, and the song is Broken One.
One day you're gonna miss me. One day you're gonna wake up cold. Then you'll wish that you could kiss me. When you're old and you're alone. So cry if you want to. Yeah, you can come undone. But you've gotta have a heart to have a broken one. You can take your accusation. You can have all your records back. You can have an opinion or a heart attack. 'Cause if you lose a kindred spirit, you'll find another one. But you've gotta pull the trigger to have a smoking gun. One day you're gonna miss me. One day you're gonna wake up cold. Then you wish that you could kiss me. When you're old and you're alone. So cry if you want to. Yeah, you can come undone. But you've gotta have a heart to have a broken one. We'll be right back.
perspective. Yes, I need a fresh start. I need a girl like you, like a stolen car. Cause we all love the joyride until you wind up dead. Oh, but you don't need a heart to have a swollen head. One day you're gonna miss me. One day you're gonna wake up cold. Then you'll wish that you could kiss me when you're old and you're alone. So cry if you want to. Yeah, you can come undone. But you've gotta have a heart to have a broken one. Yes, you've gotta have a heart to have a broken one.
We're done. Thanks very much. Have a great weekend. Stick around for the rodeo.
Yeah, Blue Radio coming up later on in the program. Luke Doucette with Melissa McClelland. That's his song called Broken One. It's Radio 2. It's 19 minutes past one. The Bob Harris Show. It's our Canadian special tonight. And more music coming up now, recorded at Lee's Palace in Toronto on Thursday evening. We'll be talking with him in a moment or two, but this is Ron Sexsmith on stage. And his first song is called Secret Heart.
There's a song that Leslie Feist did a nice job of a while back, and I want to say hello to England too. I don't know, I'm not sure if they're taping this portion, but I want to thank the BBC for putting this all together. That's the first country to notice me was England, actually, and now I just got to prove that I'm still alive to them. That's it. Secret heart, what are you made of? What are you so afraid of? Could it be three simple words, or the fear of being overheard? What's wrong? Let her in on your secret heart. Secret heart, why so mysterious? Why so sacred? Why so serious? Maybe you're just acting tough. Maybe you're just not man enough. Ooh, what's wrong? Let her in on your secret heart. This very secret you're trying. See?
under sheriff. This loneliness, few can bear it. Could it have something to do with admitting that you just can't go through it alone? Let her in on your secret. What's wrong? Let her in, let her in on your secret heart, your secret heart.
Thank you very much.
Broken haven't you heard? They said it never break your heart, but haven't you learned? You believed in the words and all that they meant. Oh, but love is not some popular song filled with empty sentiment. That's what passes for love. What passes for love these days? Do-do-do-do. These days. And it won't take no miracle, darling. Just keep it real. This world can make us cynical, darling. I know how it feels. Took it too hard with this head on the screen. Oh, but love, not just playing a part in some very scripted scene. That's what passes for love. That's what passes for love. That's what passes. Promises are made to be broken, haven't you heard? Said it never break your heart, but haven't you learned? You believe in the world and all the demands. But love is not some popular song filled with empty sentiment. That's what passes for. Now
and sounding so good. Secret Heart and These Days, the two songs we heard there from Ron Sexsmith and his performance live at Leeds Palace on Thursday evening. And I'm thrilled to be able to say that Ron Sexsmith is in our studio in Toronto live for us now. Good evening to you, Ron.
Hey, Bob, how are we doing?
I'm fine. How are you then?
Oh, well, very happy to be here. Very happy to hear you over the line here.
Well, I heard your introduction there to the first song saying, you know, you didn't want to be forgotten by people over here in the UK. I can tell you there is absolutely no chance of that.
Oh, well, thank you. That's nice for you to say.
And you have such sort of high-level fans, as it were, because I know Chris Martin from Coldplay. Paul McCartney was one of your very early fans, wasn't he?
Well, he's one of the early on, yeah. I mean, my first trip to England, really, I met him, which was, you know, I certainly didn't expect to meet any of the Beatles. But, no, I've been really lucky with some of these folks, you know, who have influenced me, have said nice things. And, you know, I don't know if he's really followed my career at all, but I know there was a time when he seemed to like what I was doing.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you about the new album, and in particular, the label structure of the Ironworks label, Ron, because there's a Jude Cole, you know, in the early 90s, in the mid-90s, well, since, I've been a very big fan of Jude Cole's music. I play him a lot on the radio still. And I played Rocco De Luca about 18 months, 2 years ago, and I actually got a note from Kiefer Sutherland's people saying, you know, Kiefer's involved with this label, we'd like you to hear this album, which I then began to. But I mean, it's an amazing thing, isn't it, that Kiefer is as involved with this label as he is, and he is very hands-on, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, we've, you know, I've met him a couple of times now, and I mean, I was just honored that, you know, it was hard actually trying to find a label in the U.S. This time around, and you know, they came on board and they were pretty enthusiastic, and it's just so strange to be sitting with Kiefer Sutherland, you know, at a bar somewhere. It's just, you know, you can't get sort of Jack Bauer out of your mind, you know, you're there with him and expecting something to explode any minute or something, you know. But, you know, it's been nice to, you always want to be at a label where they like music, you know, and I've been on a few that didn't really seem to like music very much, so far it's been a good arrangement.
Because you did at one point have an unfortunate run with labels, you know, labels merging, yeah. Just as you, so just talk us through that a little bit and what happened to you.
Well, I got the big label, you know, I was on Interscope initially, I was signed Interscope, and that was, I mean, they still are one of the biggest labels, and, you know, I was on there with the Nine Inch Nails and Snoop Doggy Dogg and everyone, but, you know, I was the only songwriter they had at the time, and they didn't really know what to do with me, but I felt that it was okay because they had so much success that they could let me kind of slide, you know, do my thing, which was fine for a while. You know, it seemed to kind of mean something at some point to be a kind of, you know, I guess the term was sort of the cred artist on the label or whatever. But after a while, it didn't seem to mean much anymore. And but I've been bounced around quite a bit. I was on Parlophone in the UK, on V2, still trying to find the right fit, you know, in some places.
And you worked with Steve Earle and Ray Kennedy at one point too, didn't you?
Yeah, we did a record. Actually, I was still in Interscope at the time. We did an album, but it ended up coming out on a Spin Art and Cooking Vinyl in the UK. Mm. But Steve Earle, I remember all the folks at Interscope were happy that I wasn't working with Mitchell Froom again, you know, because we'd made three albums that hadn't really broken through, and they thought, you know, Steve Earle had just done the Lucinda Williams album that was very successful, and they thought that was a good team for me, and it was, you know, I really loved working with Steve and Ray, they're amazing, amazing guys.
Because Ray is such a big Beatle fan, isn't he? I mean, there's all the memorabilia there in the control room and everything. And
yeah, well, that's Steve too. Steve is just, you know, it's funny because I went there thinking I was making a country record, and Steve wanted to make, you know, Revolver or something like
yes.
this. You know? So it was a bit of a tug of war, you know, going on.
Because one of the most amazing things I've heard over the last few years is Ray Kennedy got hold of some of the sort of four-track tapes of Sgt. Pepper and did a bit of remixing on some. Did he play you any of the remixes?
No, he told me about that, though. I would love to, I don't know, hopefully there'll be an occasion to hear that at some point.
Yeah. Just tell us about the gig on Thursday evening. Lee's Palace, Ron, you know, what was it like? Was it packed? Seven
bands
on the bill?
Yeah, it was jam-packed. It was great. I mean, you know, it's funny. My dream has always been to play this place in Toronto called Massey Hall, which is kind of our Royal Albert Hall. But as I walked on stage at Lee's Palace, it occurred to me that I had never really played there. I mean, it's kind of a staple in the Toronto music scene, you know, in the street, on the, you know, all the cool bands play there. And so I was really excited to finally play there. I've been living here since 87 and never really played there. So, and I felt really relaxed, you know, and I'm actually listening. Well, you just played those two tracks, and I think I had a, I sounded drunk, you know. I mean, just listening back to it, I think, you know, because I wasn't on until 1 in the morning, and I got there at 10, so I'd had a few beers before I went on, but hopefully I sounded okay to all the UK listeners out there. So.
Well, you certainly did. Well,
thank you.
Andy McLean told me earlier that I'm single-handedly responsible for the extension of licensing hours in Toronto, so just blame it all on me, Ron.
Okay. will do.
And you did. You're going to play for us live now as well.
If you like.
Yes, yeah. Please. What are you going to play?
Well, I thought I should do something from my most recent album, from the Time Being record. And this is a song called Never Give Up, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Should I go for it then?
You just go for it. Ron Sexsmith here on Radio 2.
The foolish dreams, I'm done with these. Of childish things, I've set them free. Filed them away in the past. Give up on all that don't last. Save for just one thing. There's something that I never do. I never give up on you. Though they try to break us in two. Ooh, never give up on you. Well, whatever I do. Come early spring, I bailed on that. From apron strings, I freed my hands and woke from the spell that was cast. Kicked that habit at last. Whoa, but I would stick by you. Wherever you lead me to, I'll never give up on you. World may try to break us in two. Ooh, never give up on you. Darling, whatever they do, never give up on you. Because I know you do the same for me. Never give up on you. Because you take me as I am, how I'll always be. When times are bad, when things go wrong, what makes you sad will make me strong. I'm keeping an eye on your tears, sweeping up all this broken mirror. Our luck may not come through, but that's something that I never do. I'll never give up on you. Though they try to break us in two. You never give up on you. Darling, whatever I do, never give up on you.
Technology is an absolutely amazing thing, isn't it? This beautiful music winging its way across the Atlantic to us.
Crazy.
Live on Radio 2. What time is it in Toronto right
now?
Oh,
well, it is 8:30-something. 8:35 or something, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah. 8:30.
It's 5 hours later there. People are actually listening right now in England?
Well, I hope so.
Amazing. That's great.
So is there a plan for you to come over and see us in Britain again soon, Ron?
I hope so. There's been some talk of doing some dates with Nick Lowe in the fall, which would be amazing. I'm a big fan of Nick Lowe. So he's actually one of the guys. Before I worked with Steve Earle, Nick was actually top on my list to produce the record. For some reason, the label at the time was kind of, frowning on the idea. But I just love what he does.
And the new album, when is that due for release here?
I've been working on, I'm still working on it in England, actually. I've been working with Martin Treffy, and I've also been in Cuba recording some amazing horn players on the album, too. So we're hoping, with any luck, it'll come out early 2008, and then I'll be, probably doing a UK tour,
Okay, well, we really look forward to that. And meanwhile, if you see him again, will you pass on our best to Jude Cole?
I will.
We're big fans on this program.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll let him know for sure.
Okay.
And it's amazing, too. You know, your show turned me on to Judy Sill, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
Grey Whistle Test. I'm forever in your debt for that, so I must say thank you for that. So.
Well, thanks for the music tonight, Ron. It's been really good to talk to you. Thanks very much indeed. And see you in the UK soon. Okay. Bye-bye. And a couple more performances from Lee's Palace from the other evening to play you as well. Blue Rodeo is still to come on the program, but first, this is Kathleen Edwards.
I bit my tongue. B is for bullshit and you fed me some. C is for charity and now you're mine. D is for dollars but you're counting dimes. E is the exit sign backstage at shows. F is my favorite letter as you know. G is for God loves a patient man who spends his days living in ego land. You always write it in the cheapest key. You always blame it on the cheapest key. You always play me in the cheapest key. They say the sorto is the hardest part, but like you know, baby, I'm all warmed up. Sometimes I wanna shout your name out loud and let them in on what you're all about. You always write it in the cheapest key. You always blame it on the cheapest key. You always play me in the cheapest key. Softer side, and there it goes. 'Cause I've been on the road too long to sympathize with what you think you wrote. You always write it in the cheapest key. You always blame it on the cheapest key. You always spray me in the cheapest key. The cheapest key. Cheapest key, the cheapest key, the cheapest key. So, you guys know that BBC is recording this evening. And
For those of you who don't know, there's a gentleman at the BBC Radio 2 named Bob Harris. And Bob Harris is like the Canadiana Americana champion of the BBC, and he supports a lot of artists, and many of whom maybe will be discovered tonight. But I really hope that they know that there are people like Bob Harris out there who eventually will discover them and will play them so that they can travel around outside of Canada and make music and have people come to their shows and make a connection. But I wrote this song at a time up in my house when I was so sure that nothing was gonna happen for me. And I feel very lucky to be a part of a night like this with some amazing other acts like Justin Rutledge and O Susanna, who's the hottest lady I know.
Because you are just shape and shadow of here and there.
Wow, great ovation, and I am a huge fan of Kathleen Edwards. We heard Good Things and The Cheapest Key, and let's hope Kathleen is over in this country again very soon. The new album is going to be out towards the end of this year, early next. So here we are then at Lee's Palace, Thursday night, Friday morning. It's just before 3 a.m. and one more band are just about to take the stage.
We are Blue Rodeo, and we're live from Lee's Palace in Toronto. And we're at the NXNE Festival on the Bob Harris Show on BBC Radio 2.
It's me, what a big surprise, calling you up from a restaurant down the bend. Just got in from way up north, making time now, I could use a friend. Might be a fool, think that you do wanna see me. It's been a while since I talked to you. Nothing wrong, just nothing ever goes as planned. So many times I thought I'd call, didn't have your number in my hand. I know it's true, you never do the same. on this useless night. With you so far away, I stand in front of this Ferris wheel and I wonder, what am I doing here? And I wonder, what am I doing here? All the drunks just stumble by
at the end. The line kind of disappears on us, but we heard almost all of What Am I Doing Here? Blue Rodeo, Bad Timing was the track before, and they were playing on stage at the special Radio 2 Bob Harris Presents evening at Lee's Palace in Toronto on Thursday evening, Friday morning. I think Blue Rodeo went on stage at about 2:45 or thereabouts. But it was a fantastic evening. Thanks to everybody who took part and provided material for us for this program tonight. All the people at North by Northeast, in particular the people at Lee's Palace who made it possible. Andy and Linda McLean, Larry LeBlanc and Ron Sexsmith, who appeared live on the program this evening. And then all the various performances from Jim Bryson, Melissa McClelland, O. Susanna, Ron Sexsmith, Luke Doucette, Kathleen Edwards, and just at the end there, Blue Rodeo. We heard most of Bad Timing and most of What Am I Doing Here?